Good evening, and welcome to the St. Petersburg Area Chamber of Commerce 122nd Annual Meeting. I am Ryan Griffin, the Board Chair. What a night. What a glorious night. Obviously, the format and the venue look different than years past. We're not at the beautiful Mahaffey Theater with our 1,500 members and celebrating a great year. That's because we're still in the midst of a global pandemic. We have increasing COVID numbers, and we thought that this is the proper format to have this event. We're so thankful to Catalyst and allowing us to use their studios for this medium to get the word out to you. Catalyst has been a great partner telling our story throughout the entire year, and this is no different, so thank you. For all of you struggling with COVID-19 and the effects of COVID-19, my thoughts and prayers go out to you. We need to stay safe, wear a mask, remain vigilant, and we need to run through this finish line fighting this global pandemic. To get started this evening, I would like to acknowledge our investors that make our 2021 program of work possible, that give us the resources and means to make sure that we accomplish our initiatives and make sure that we remain as a leader in business for our community and bring vitality to our community. I'd like you to join me in thanking these Berg brands while their names appear on the screen. Bayfront Health, St. Petersburg, Duke Energy, Regions, Truist, University of South Florida, St. Petersburg, St. Anthony's Hospital, Johnson Pope, Boca, Ruppel, and Burns. And the remaining value program investors that you see on the screen, investors such as these make nights like this possible and are vital to the Chamber of Commerce. I also want to take a personal privilege to thank people that are very important to me, to my incredible wife, Marianne, I love you, whose support and sacrifice has allowed me to devote so much time in the past year to the chamber and the community. When I was looking at my calendar yesterday, trying to look at chamber-related events that I've attended over the last year, I stopped counting at 175 meetings. Thank you to Marianne for all you do for us. If you were at the annual meeting last year, you also heard me mention that we gave birth to a little baby boy, Liam, who was a month old. And I feel guilty when I think about the time that I spent away from him this year. And it was very difficult. However, when I think about the time that I spent on the chamber and the community, I think about his future. And I think that the things we did this year will be transformational for his future and for other children's future. I also want to mention specifically one of tonight's sponsors, Johnson Pope, Boca, Ruppel, and Burns. That's my law firm. And their continued support of me through the chamber and the many years I've been chambering, culminating in my role as the chamber chair in the last year. Speaking of the last year, wow, what a decade that was. Well, I will tell you, if you recall last year's speech, there was many things that I talked about that were initiatives that we were excited to tackle in 2020. Unfortunately, they moved down the priority list when COVID hit, and we took on different initiatives and different things. But if you did hear my speech, you heard my theme, my message, and that was that I'm here for you, our members, as your chair, that the chamber was here for you as its chamber and as the preeminent leader in business for you, that we had your back. Now, those words could not have been more poignant when we looked at what was to come in 2020. I remember very vividly the year started out very normally, as most do, and then I looked. We were at the mayor's green flag brunch, celebrate the St. Pete Grand Prix at the Vinoy. And I remember the mayor having to cancel the St. Pete Grand Prix. And I looked over at Chris Steinacker, our CEO, and right then I told him, it's time for us to go to work. Because I knew that the chamber as we knew it stopped at that point in time. And we had to take action to help our members. And that day I remember Chris actually partnered with the Catalyst and put out a podcast series to get information out to our members. When I think about this year compared to other years, the focus typically for the chamber is on helping its members grow, helping them succeed. However, this year was apparently very quickly going to be different. It was one on survival. It was one on how to help our members navigate the challenging waters that were going to be ahead of them due to COVID-19. As a trial lawyer, restaurant owner, and small business owner, I'm not fortunately granted time to have sufficient planning, to have smooth sailing, low stakes, Instead, my days are often filled with client emergencies, quick decisions, financial concerns, crises, and the stakes are often very high. At the moment that the COVID-19 crisis hit our community, I knew that I was in the right position at the right time, that I had the right skill set to truly serve, to best serve this chamber. When they say that when the chips are down, you can tell what a person's character is, what they're made of, I will tell you, our chamber showed that more than ever this year. In a year of a global pandemic, protests following the death of George Floyd, protests regarding against systemic racism, and a political year of unrest, the likes of which I don't think I've ever seen before, the chamber, its board, its staff, our members and our partners truly came together. And it is through this collaboration that we accomplished some incredible things. What you will hear about tonight, and we built a strategic foundation for many, many years to come. Those collaborations included the chamber and the city launching a relief, reopen, recover, reimagine program. You might see the poster on the front here about how to get our businesses open and operating in a safe St. Pete way. It might have been the collaboration with the St. Pete Greenhouse, Leadership St. Pete, and the city coming together for the Fighting Chance Fund, or Grow Smarter and all of you coming together for the Give Me Five initiative, or the Chamber, Grow Smarter, and the Foundation for Healthy St. Pete coming together to pivot and launch the Business Resiliency Team to help navigation for all the small businesses in our community deal with the pandemic. And not just our members, all businesses, because that's what a community, that's what a chamber does, that's what a leader does. And we did that because that's what you should do, that's what a chamber should do. And all these initiatives were done with an intentional focus on equity and inclusion at all costs. This list goes on for the things we can celebrate this year and does not include all the town halls, the virtual meetings, the committee meetings, the ribbon cuttings, and all the events that help us make St. Pete a world-class city. In short, our future is bright in 2021. This year and your efforts have been transformational for this chamber, its members, our community, and our future. While we may not see the fruits of our labor right now, it might not be apparent right now, they will become apparent over time. They will become a new foundation, a bedrock for the city we will become. I'm so proud and thankful to have a chamber, a CEO, a staff, a board, and members like you at this chamber. And I'm so grateful to be a part of a community where these type of people are devoted to making their city better. Better for all of us. That is rare. It has been an honor to serve as your chair in 2020, and I thank you for allowing me to serve in that capacity. As they say, on with the show. As every chair experiences, it's a journey through the year as the chair, and you get to work and meet with a lot of great people, and you also get to understand their journeys and what they go through. Let me show you what I mean in our first segment. Welcome to all our chamber members. My name is Ryan Griffin. In addition to being the chair of the Chamber of Commerce, I own restaurants and bars in St. Pete, the Mandarin Hyde and Trophy Fish. And the hospitality industry was harder hit than any other industry in our community. And that plays such a vital role in so many aspects of who we are. It feeds all of us. It lodges us. It gives us many, many jobs for most of our community. It also brings us those things that are intangible, that culture, that feeling, that vibe, those retail, those performing arts centers, those music venues, and hopefully it'll all come back. But I thought we should have a conversation about the hospitality industry, what we went through, and where we're gonna be in 2021. So I invited some of my hospitality friends here today, Todd Gerke, the Director of Sales and Marketing at the Don Cesar Hotel, Steve Westfall, owner of Go To Steve's, and those restaurants are some of the lifeblood restaurants of St. Pete, Park Shore, 400 Seafood and Tap House, the Annex, and Gala at the Dolly. Also a newcomer to St. Pete, The Mar, owned by Heather and David Hamar, who is a performing arts studio and incubator that opened up in the middle of COVID-19 in September. Thank you guys all for joining us here today and being a part of this conversation. As you know, 2020 started off so bright, and I think it's apropos that we're sitting at a bar here, unfortunately not with drinks, although we probably deserve drinks for how difficult a year that has been for us. But things have changed. But on the bright side, we're in the Sunshine City, or the Sunshine State, We got Chamber of Commerce weather here today, and hopefully things will be a lot brighter in 2021. As I mentioned, things started out great, Todd, in 2021. Unfortunately, it ended so abruptly. I only can imagine what the Don Cesar went through. Tell us a little bit about what you went through.
Yeah, I mean, when I think back to early 2020, it seems like a world away. And we did start off the year looking to have our best year ever, and it looked phenomenal as we went through January and February, and as the month of March started. I think the craziest thing for me as a hotel executive was the abruptness of how quickly everything came to fruition. We literally brought our team together. You know, we've been there for 93 years. We have, at our high point, 400 employees. And we bring everyone together. We say, hey, we know there's a little bit of ruffle happening with this COVID situation. We're analyzing it very closely. But at this point, we don't foresee any major concerns. We're certainly going to adapt with it over the coming weeks. And within 48 hours, 72 hours, we literally were sitting down and furloughing our entire team. We were going from 400 individuals down to essentially 20, 25 individuals at the management level. Certainly something that, as an individual, was one of the hardest things in 25 years I've ever had to do. And so as we were faced with that coming out of it, we had to get creative. It was a matter of, you know, at the hotel level, we operate 5 restaurants, a spa, a full-service hotel, all within one situation. We were putting up umbrellas on the beach. We were running laundry in the laundry room. We were serving ice cream to kids when they got out of the pool. I mean, whatever at that point needed to be done, it was all hands on deck to make it happen. And that was one of the biggest challenges. When I think of all of the service providers and partners who also lost because we lost, all of our musicians that play outside, all of our food beverage purveyors, all of our service providers that have gigs with us that do different things. I mean, everybody loses out when the destination takes a hit like that. And that was just a crazy thing to go through. And it was really, really hard.
Yeah, I think one of the things that's important to realize is that all our small businesses are an ecosystem. And while it might have hurt one business, the ripple effect of that is exponential. Steve, being a lifelong hospitality guy and restaurateur, I know it's in your DNA to serve the guests and to be open for the guests. I only can imagine how difficult it was closing your restaurants. How hard has it been for you and your businesses?
Ryan, I won't sugarcoat it. It's been one of the hardest years of my life in the hospitality business. We went from truly, like Todd said, it was the best beginning of the year that we've ever had. And we went into this abyss of the worst beginning of the worst year that we've ever had. And emotionally, not just for me, but the employees. And I like what Todd alluded to. I mean, it's not just what happens with our restaurant. It's how our restaurant impacts the rest of the community. You know, we've done our best to support several nonprofits through the years. There's several outreach programs. Everybody took a hit as this trickle down occurred. Musicians, as you say, my advertisers, like you say. I mean, we just had to buckle down and survive. So, very, very hard year. Very hard year, but...
I think we all can feel it, Steve, and I know that you care about the community, and that comes through. And I know that it's been trying on you personally, too. So I ask both of you, in terms of what have you done? How has this made you change how you looked at your business? Or what things are you doing to keep safe? Todd?
Yeah, I mean, essentially, you have to be innovative and efficient. You have to try to work with doing more with less, and how do you analyze your overall processes and just make them better.
Were some things that you experienced and changed?
Yes, and I want to say, it was, you know, since we were all in it together, the ideas were coming rapidly as to what we could do. Todd mentioned the touch points. You had to analyze every aspect of your business, your placement of spacing your tables out. I wanted to allude a little bit to leadership and government. You know, we had the Safe St. Pete Safe that came through, and also the chamber promoted throughout the town to rapidly get the information to, if we're going to survive and get through this, this is what we all need to do. And I like the directives, okay? I like that it leveled the playing field. It told everybody what we need to do to get through this together, right? So mask, you know, the staff, the testing at the back door, nobody comes in. If you've been sick, stay at home, please, you know. We want to keep the staff safe. We want to keep the customer safe. And we want to do our best to continue to try and stay in business.
Well, speaking of that, staying in business is what these two gentlemen have done with their companies and their teams have done.
It's even harder to think about a business that started during COVID-19. As I mentioned, the MAR, a performing arts studio and incubator, Heather and David, in an industry where performing arts, you need people to technically be there in the collaboration of artists. How have you managed?
Like they said, pivoting, learning on the fly. Although we were a new business anyway, so on top of just having to adjust to a new climate, we had to adjust to a new lifestyle. Like we don't, you know, my background is that I'm a professional musician. I tour, I play it all. I played at the best. Like I know what it's like, and just everything was ripped out. We've been working on putting our business together since January of 2019. So we were already like stretching thin, and then, you know, any income that we had just disappeared totally. And we're like, what do we do? And what makes it even worse is that 3 days before the shutdown, we gave our landlord all our money. We were like, hey, we're really going to go for it. We're really going to do it. And he was like, all right, let's do it. And then.
Well, let me ask you this. So looking forward into 2021 and your business, tell me what you see.
Well, I see a lot of brightness. You know, one of the great things about performing arts is it is a, I don't know, it makes your heart beat. It makes your blood flow. Like music makes you feel good, and being out on stage and having an audience and people that you can interact with without having like touch them or whatever, you touch them in a way. So this will come back. It will. And I think the way that we are pivoting is not only for virtual, but also for outdoor performances. We were able to do an outdoor performance on the streets, and it was so just, you know, make it simple, put it out there, and the people will come, and it will be safe and open, and those people can feel that energy of the performing arts. And I think that that's what it's all about now, you know, is connecting to people in a new way. It is a new normal, but it's beautiful. And I think as soon as we can adjust our sight to see these new ways of connecting, it's going to be great. So 2021 looks really bright for us and for the city and the community. And like, we're not going anywhere. The arts are here. It has to be here.
Well, one of our initiatives is to make St. Pete an arts and education city, and what you guys are doing will definitely play to that. Todd, a question to you. For the community or the chamber members that are watching this, what can we do for the Don Cesar? What can we do for the hospitality industry?
I think it's just all about community collaboration. Unfortunately, service employees can't work from home. They're not remote workers. So right now, they're desperate to get back to business. We want to do that. We know there's a pent-up demand to do that. And we know that we can do it in a responsible way. One of the hardest things as an individual is, you know, nationally you have an environment where people are trying to say, stay home, be safe, don't go out. Meanwhile, our whole business model is, please go out, enjoy yourself, be safe. And so being able to do that in this environment requires the community to come together and show that we can do it responsibly and we can do it together.
Great. Steve, comments for the community, for the chamber members. How can we help your businesses?
Well, they have. They have. I've been amazed at the amount of support from day one when we got our doors back open. So the community has very well responded to taking care of each other. I am very optimistic about the pent-up demand, the future, the parties that were overlooked, the gatherings. I look so forward to being able to sit in an audience and be captivated or raptured or just to be with people again. You know, and I'm very optimistic about the future. I'm excited about the future. And, you know, this too will pass. Nothing stays the same. And so we've got a lot to look forward to.
I think Steve touched on it well, that a part of our community feels safe coming back. But until we get everyone back, we're never going to be at full strength. And that's really, really important. Doing things safe and doing things the right way. We got to run through this finish line. We have to wear our masks. We have to be safe. We have to comply with social distancing. And we have to be a leader in our community and as a chamber to how to do things right. Because that's the only way we're going to really bring back all that tourism and that feel that makes us such a special community. Thank you.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Chris Steinacker, President and CEO of the St. Petersburg Area Chamber of Commerce. Thanks for joining us for our annual meeting. And Ryan, thank you for your introduction of our meeting and that great report about those people in our community that really are trying to survive. Whatever, and we saw some real good leaders who are really trying to figure out how to make a difference in our community going forward. And I get that chance every day, as you know, to work with all those leaders in our community that are making a difference. And then with me in the Catalyst studio right now is the one I get to work with on a close basis to make sure we get through COVID, but also that we continue to grow this place to be the best place on earth. So I'm glad and proud to introduce and welcome to the Catalyst Studios and our annual meeting, Mayor Rick Kreisman. Mayor, good to see you again.
It's always good to be with you, Chris.
So what we just saw there about just what Ryan and all those people dealt with, about just the relentless amount of activity to figure out COVID,
And
it's been a journey.
It's been tough, you know, and, you know, we know that this has been incredibly challenging and difficult for our entire business community. I mean, look, St. Petersburg, you know better than me, it is a community of small businesses. And COVID and this pandemic have been harder on our small businesses than anyone else. And so our businesses have struggled to survive. People have lost their job. And it's been tough. But, you know, as hard as it is, I think there's a bright side to this. And I think, you know, what I'm encouraged about is that I think St. Petersburg is going to come through this pandemic stronger than so many other cities and communities around the country. We're not going to be digging out of a ditch when we're out. We're going to be hitting the ground and we're going to be running.
Right. Well, I want to first of all thank you very much for just the leadership that you've provided us, because you saw people hurting.
Yeah.
And then we got together and really decided on, let's make sure that everybody stays safe, number one, and
Yep.
their economy will thrive after that. And you went on that. And then you got us into this race to stay safe.
Yeah.
And right now, we're actually trending pretty good. Can you just make sure everybody understands what the mentality is right now for this last dash in this COVID and where we're at?
Yeah, I'd love to. You know, I mean, my goal, and it's been your goal, and that's why I think we work so well together on this, has been we want our businesses to stay open. We don't want businesses to close. We want people to have jobs. We want our economy humming. And the best way to make that happen is to just do a few simple things and stay safe. Wear your mask when you're indoors. Even when you're outdoors around people you don't know, keep yourself socially distant. You know, don't go to big gatherings if you don't have to, and if you do, do it safely. And sanitize. And if you do those things, you can stay safe. We can keep our numbers down. We can keep people out of hospitals. We can keep people from dying. We can keep our businesses open. And that's what Race to Safe is about. We believe that St. Petersburg, Pinellas County, we'd love to see the whole Tampa Bay Area, for that matter, be the safest community in the state of Florida, the place that both our residents and our visitors feel safe if they go out and take advantage of the incredible restaurants, galleries, shops, everything that we have to offer.
And you and I were remarking about your State of the Economy address, where we actually are starting to see a great rebound of our tourism, and that's an early indicator that maybe the message is out, that maybe our community really is doing something different, and those travelers that are adventuring out are finding St. Pete. So a safe strategy is a great strategy for an economy, right?
It is. It's, you know, it's the easiest way to keep your doors open. I mean, you look at what's happening around the country, and in so many other states, the businesses are shut down. You know, and I firmly believe that's not something we have to do if we just do the simple things that we've talked about. There's no reason that we can't keep our numbers down. We did it before. We saw those numbers low before. And really, the only time we've seen our numbers go back up is when we got out of the habit of wearing our mask. We stopped socially distancing. We stopped not going to big gatherings. And that's when we saw our numbers go up. So let's do the opposite. Let's do the smart things. Let's keep our numbers down. Let's keep our businesses open.
Please, please, let's keep our businesses open. And again, you're going to hear, we're going to talk a little bit more about Fighting Chance. But again, our businesses, thank you for the Fighting Chance Fund. Our city got out very early.
We did.
And made sure those who weren't going to be able to qualify for those government loans, the PPP loans and others, were seen and heard. And then not only did you guys do that and get that money on the street, but then you kept hearing from them and changing it and revising it. Because haven't we learned that this is just a reiteration of it all? But without that Fighting Chance resource, I don't know if our businesses would be open. So to all those businesses who received it, I know my wife's business, did. I know so many of our members did. It's important. Yeah. How did that feel?
Yeah, I'm incredibly proud of my team. Alan Delisle, Jessica Eilerman, everyone in our economic development team. You know, their heart and soul went into that because they knew this is people's lives. This is what people have worked all their life for. I mean, when you and I do ribbon cuttings, we see the passion in their faces. And so oftentimes it's a family business. And, you know, so we knew that the actions that we were taking, our whole team, were going to make a difference in their lives. And, yeah, it feels good, but it feels even better knowing that those businesses are still going to be there, still going to be open. So when we're on the other side of this, what's made St. Pete special will continue to be special.
Yeah. You know, 2020, if we lost one thing there, it was you and I did about 75 ribbon cuttings every year. So we lost 75 evenings together just to spend time with those businesses and really understand it. But we have put something in place that really has helped our community, and that's the greenhouse.
Yes.
And before we go, first of all, I want to say thank you for that partnership. I really do believe our city has a front door to where all small businesses can be served. I'd love to tell our members and viewers a little bit about it.
Hello, everyone. I am Kim Vogel, the co-manager of the Greenhouse, and we are so for the 122nd Chamber Annual Meeting. And to update you on what the Greenhouse has been doing in 2020, as well as to what we are looking forward to in 2021. I am lucky enough to be joined by my friend Esther Eugene of All Administrative Solutions and a very proud Entrepreneurial Academy graduate.
Absolutely.
Esther, tell us how EA, Entrepreneurial Academy, helped your journey.
So Entrepreneurial Academy helped to create a true synergy within my business, Kim. Understanding that planning, research, marketing, and accounting created a well-rounded business circle for success. It really allowed me to ground and understand the key pieces that's needed.
That's awesome. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that. So as an entrepreneur, how has the Greenhouse assisted you on your business startup journey?
I would say connections. So connections to the certified business consultant, connections to the small business development center. But what I feel is the most important is the advocacy. So the advocacy through conversations, bringing awareness of my small but solid firm, expanding my vision and my reach.
So not only were we lucky enough to have Esther Eugene with us in the Entrepreneurial Academy, but we also got to have her as our rock star MC for St. Pete Pitch Night, the virtual editions in 2020.
Absolutely.
So Esther, can you tell us a little bit about St. Pete Pitch Night in 2020, what it was like to be the MC, and then tell us a little bit about our summer winner?
Absolutely. So Pitch Night, if you have not had an opportunity to be a part of a Pitch Night, you absolutely need to do it. Pitch Night allows you to see businesses that you normally would not get a chance to see them pitch their ideas, their vision, their passion, and then there's a winner. And in truth, everyone should win, but we have to vote at the end of the night. And this summer's virtual Pitch Night was fantastic. It really showed people wanting to see businesses succeed.
Absolutely.
So our first virtual Pitch Night winner was Johnny Crowder of Cope Notes. He's unable to be with us tonight because he's doing just some fantastic things. He's out there rocking. Some of those things, revenue in 2020 was 15 times greater than his 2019's revenue. He's closed his first, second, and third government contract. He's named Inc.'s number one mental health resource for COVID. And also, he's just passed the 500,000 mark for Texas.
Isn't that great?
It's fantastic.
It is. And Johnny couldn't be with us today because he is first day of the Tampa Bay Innovation Center accelerator.
Yes.
That's happening, which is so great. Again, another perfect example of the entrepreneurial ecosystem at work and us as St. Petersburg building the pipeline of these successful businesses.
It's the St. Pete way.
Yep.
All right, and now I'd like to introduce Ashley Haywood of Embrutee, our second virtual Pitch Night winner. Hello, Ashley.
Hey, Esther.
How's everything going?
It's good. Man, I'm excited for 2021. Now 2020's over, and so many good things happened. I mean, Pitch Night was a very big highlight of it, but 2021 is going to be a good year.
Fantastic. What did you learn from experience with Pitch Night?
My biggest learning was just understanding how much support there is in St. Pete. As a community, as a city, they really support entrepreneurs, startups, people who want to pursue their dreams in the entrepreneurial world.
Agreed, agreed. And that's so true. How's your business going?
It's good. Man, there are so many different things as an entrepreneur that you have to focus on that I'm trying my best to pick one lane and really put a lot of effort into it. So digital marketing, but I also want to spread the brand around St. Pete in restaurants and organic grocers and in boutique stores so that people really associate the tea community with the brand Imbrew with the tea community here.
Okay, fantastic. What's next for Imbrew Teas?
Well, the seed money was a huge help in getting me started with the application to trademark Imbrew. So I'm very excited that it's now in process. And I used a lot of that money to invest in digital marketing over the holidays so that I have the new customers coming in even without events. But hopefully those events will come back in and I can get back to markets and events too.
Fantastic. You're going to do great. You're going to do great. What piece of advice would you give to the next pitch night winner?
Practice. So create a good story and then practice the heck out of it. So what I feel is the most important thing when you're pitching is to create an emotional connection. The story, people really want to know what's important to you and why you started this business. And once you create your pitch, just practice it. I probably practiced 30 times before pitch night just so that the words would flow without really all that much thought. And you only have 6 minutes. 6 minutes is not a long time to pitch a business.
Absolutely. And listen, practice makes perfect and you won. So congratulations again. The next virtual pitch night is scheduled for February 24th at 5 p.m. Applications are due tomorrow, January the 28th, and information can be found at stpetegreenhouse.com/pitch. I'm looking forward to those that are going to come in. Now I'd like to hand it back off to Kim.
I am excited again to be here to tell you about what is happening in 2021 at the Greenhouse. And I am thrilled to be joined by Jason Jensen, who will be sitting in as a brand new committee chair for representing the Greenhouse, as well as navigation and business growth. And this is a new committee, Jason, for the chamber.
This is an initiative that we've had, but the chamber has identified as something that we want to really grow in the future. So to spearhead the next phase of this, how do we take all the good aspects of the Greenhouse and these initiatives and take it to that next level, to take it to the greater chamber ecosystem, make that ecosystem really stick and become something that can really grow within the community and bring a lot of new faces, a lot of new people together that didn't know they needed each other. And if anything has told us the last year, we need each other, we need to lift up each other, and this is an opportunity for us to really dig in and make a difference in our business community.
Right, and to really support small business. I mean, you know, the Greenhouse Partnership has been going on for 7 years now, and so this beautiful synergy and partnership between the city of St. Pete and the chamber has really, really moved the needle on small business. But man, you are absolutely right. What 2020 taught us was we can take things to the next level, and we can do that truly by helping businesses start, grow, and thrive, right? And we're going to do that. We're going to really help businesses start through capacity and connection building. And, you know, we know that the chamber is great at making those connections and really supporting each other.
It's great that we already had this navigation system in place to be able to build upon. Yeah, but the next level was asking our community members. You know, we have staff that are doing these exercises, but they need this expertise from other business members. And the chamber reached out and we asked for time from people to really give their expertise, give their talents to others, and they answered the call. We're going to build on that. We're going to get more people involved with peer groups. We're going to get more people involved with bringing up businesses from startup to build up and really take our business community, our St. Petersburg that we love, to the next level.
Right. And we're really going to assist businesses grow through awareness, to be able to tell their stories of success and to also really wrap ourselves around them through tools like navigation. And the thing about navigation is it's not new, right? It's just a very curated approach to supporting small businesses. And the Greenhouse has been doing it. But like you said, we're going to take it to the next level. And we're really going to make sure that businesses have what they need to be as successful as possible. And the beauty that the chamber is going to bring are advisors and people to really support that growth and that ability to thrive for businesses.
Right. In a pandemic situation, we needed navigation just to survive. We needed to get grants. We needed to help businesses move to the next day, the next week, the next month. Now it's time to take our businesses and build on that and take them years ahead, to take them to growth and jobs that support our community for a long time to come, that are going to really make us that unique ecosystem in St. Petersburg that we know is growing and can grow more.
Right. You know, Jason, you agreed to take this entrepreneurial leap with me and really form this new Greenhouse Committee. We don't really have any members or anything yet. We've got a couple of people who have said yes, but who do we want? What are we looking for?
Well, we're looking for a lot of things. We're looking for a lot of talent. We've seen so many people reach out and give their time, their talents to these initiatives that really care about our community. They care about their fellow man. They care about the diversity of our community. They care about there being opportunities for their kids in the future. And this is an opportunity for you to get off the sidelines, to give your talents to another business that is at a different stage than yourself. You know, maybe it's just getting off the ground. Maybe they're established and they need that advice to get to the next plateau. We need your effort. We need you to be involved. We need you to help grow this idea, this navigation, this ecosystem to the next level. It's exciting. We're excited to be a part of it. This is the opportunity that we have to brainstorm with you how to get to that next level. So get involved, join the Greenhouse, join the chamber, and make sure that you're part of the future of St. Petersburg.
I'm also, Jason, really excited to announce that we have a new partner with the Greenhouse and truly with the whole entrepreneurial ecosystem. One of our 2020 St. Pete Pitch Night participants, Startup Space, is helping us launch a new community platform with the goal to further connect our St. Pete ecosystem. So we want you to stay tuned because at our first St. Pete Pitch Night of 2021, which is February 24th, we will be telling you a whole lot more about Startup Space and about that entrepreneurial ecosystem mapping that we are doing. And we're doing that in partnership with USF St. Pete, with our partners through Grow Smarter. It's going to be a very exciting ecosystem builder for St. Pete and beyond.
I can't wait to see it.
Wow, what a great segment. Chris, entrepreneurship is truly in our lifeblood here in St. Petersburg. And as an entrepreneur, I'm so glad to see the Chamber's focus on pushing that initiative forward this year.
Well, as you know, we always say, Ryan, at our ribbon cuttings, that if we could just be a city of entrepreneurs, all of our problems really go away, because that entrepreneur does so much for our community. It employs so many. It invests. It invigorates. It visualizes where we're going to go. So I think the right place to stay and continue to focus on it is those businesses. And you saw from your video, as well as this one, that they're the most innovative group of folks ever, and they're going to get us through this effort. And we need that because they deserve that fighting chance. Our next segment is all about that fighting chance. You're going to hear about the fighting chance and Dr. Kanika Tomlin just mentioning it briefly. And then you're going to hear about those who stepped up and heard the call to do what they could do. And our LSP class helped fund it. And you're going to hear a special announcement about their funding of that program. But if you listen really closely to watch it, you're going to see a little surprise about Member of the Year as well. Let's go to our next segment.
Hello again, everybody. I'm Chris Steinacker, President and CEO of the St. Petersburg Area Chamber of Commerce. And as you can see, I'm joined by some of those folks who really did help us get through 2020 and actually get us to even become a stronger community. I have first on the line here, Deputy Mayor Kanika Tomlin. Deputy Mayor, we had just talked to the mayor about fighting chance and what our city went through. But give me your perspective of how important was it that we were able to work together to get the support to our businesses?
Well, we were so worried, Chris, when the coronavirus hit our community, not only our health, but our economic landscape, and knew we needed to do something super quick. And we knew we needed the help of everybody who was so inclined to wrap their arms around our local economy and buoy those businesses through that unreal time, unprecedented time. And it was so important. It was our chance to illustrate the work we've been doing for years around building an inclusive and equitable community. And with partnerships like the Chamber and so many other private philanthropists and our city council, everybody stepped up to the task and said, let's do what it takes to get our businesses through to the other side. It was wonderful, and I'm so proud of our city.
Well, I appreciate your leadership, because I don't think every city had that kind of leadership and direction to ensure that everybody got supported. So thank you very much from the bottom of my heart and all of our members. But alongside of that was some other big leaders doing the same kind of thing. But the best part is, Maddie, I know you've worked with the deputy mayor and I on this, but we're announcing today that because of the LSP Class 2020, the Visionary Class's effort to raise money for Fighting Chance, you guys actually raised a lot of money for Fighting Chance, and we did all kinds of ways to do that. We now have announcing today that the Fighting Chance funds that we raised, along with some matching money from the city, is now going towards a full-time navigation process for our community at our greenhouse. For the first time ever, now we will have more folks who are just focused on helping every business get to the resources and the people in our community that are going to make a difference. We're starting to, we have a job description. We're going to be hiring that position, and that person will be on the floor starting in February, helping our businesses grow. And that's because of your leadership, and that's because of those leaders in your class that decided to give back to our community. So tell me a little bit about why you guys chose Fighting Chance to do this, but also what's it like to lead the longest class ever in St. Pete history, LSP history?
Well, thank you. It was absolutely our pleasure to be a part of everything that went on last year. Leading the class of 2020 through COVID-19 and everything that we experienced was an unexpected leadership challenge for sure, but one that was welcomed because it was met with a lot of opportunity for growth. Like most organizations, our original aspirations and intentions for the program of Leadership St. Pete were quickly amended once we realized that COVID-19 was not a temporary threat to our community. What happened with the visionary class in perfect leadership form is that, you know, the St. Pete way, the right way, we pivoted our efforts. The class came together and made a collective decision that our legacy and what we were to leave behind in our community for the class of 2020 was bigger than just one organization, was what was important enough to impact the entire community. So as a group, everybody kind of, you know, rallied behind the idea that supporting the Fighting Chance Fund and raising money digitally on a digital platform in different ways than ever done before was necessary to support the community during their time of need. So they rose to the occasion as leaders do and stepped up to support the community in every way that we could. So we're honored and excited about this new opportunity and blessed to be a part of it.
You also have a job too, right? But I want to make sure you understand is you're a volunteer. You're not a staff member here. I don't pay you to come in and make sure that you take 40 souls through something and make it work. And then you invest something that's going to affect millions of people going forward. You have a job. And in fact, your job's pretty important, isn't it? You're a nurse, if I'm trade, and you're an administrator now for those senior care facilities where our parents are and our grandparents, where those who need us the most are. And you took care of all those people while you took care of 40 leadership classmates and 40 planning committee members. You took care of our community, Maddie. And for that reason, when you hear this music at an annual meeting, that means you are our member of the year, Maddie McCarthy. Thank you so much. And yes, this was it was a very much a surprise.
Oh my gosh. Ryan, right here. Congratulations. Thank you
so much. Well deserved.
Oh my God. Thank you. I'm blown away. Thank you.
Thank you for your leadership.
Thank you so much. That is one of the greatest honors I've ever received. Thank you. I'm blown away. Thank you.
All right. Well, Maddie, thank you very much. I'm sorry to surprise you in that way, but I really am not. I enjoy the heck out of it because it's not done yet. You've got to make sure people get vaccinated and stay safe. And so I wanted to give you some encouragement that our community wants to give. So for all the first responders and those that are, we know aren't done yet, I just want to say thank you on behalf of all of them through you. And thank you for your leadership because you are what makes St. Pete special. And to our class, thank you, Deputy Mayor. I appreciate your leadership. We are living in the best place on earth, and let's continue to do so. We'll see you guys soon. Thank you very much.
Thank you to all of you.
For those of you not familiar with the annual meeting, every year we give out the Member of the Year Award. Maddie, congratulations. It was well-deserved. For a person who serves some of our most vulnerable population and elderly community during a pandemic nonetheless, you showed amazing leadership and diligence and supported all of us and all of our business, and you found that time. Thank you and well done.
Yeah, I really, Maddie, congratulations, but I really appreciate that. I enjoy that kind of segment. I love, first of all, that was a genuine surprise from Maddie, but she did brought a lot of folks together and led them, and that's what it's really going to require for us to become that community we're trying to be, especially after what we've dealt with. But what I'm proud about in this next segment is about the kind of leadership we're seeing throughout our community and how we've had to really address all those issues, because it wasn't just COVID that our community was dealing with. There were a lot of other issues, and equity is one of them. Let's talk about how we deal with it at the Chamber.
Hello, I'm Tashika Griffith, 2020 Grow Smarter Chair. I'm joined today by Dr. Sri Sundaram, 2021 Chamber Chair and 2019 Grow Smarter Chair, Leah McRae, 2020 Coordinated Education and Training Workgroup Chair for Grow Smarter, and our Grow Smarter Manager, Jocelyn Howard. Thank you all for your time today. Grow Smarter's mission to reduce gaps by race and place is grounded in economic development strategy. We know last year was an extremely challenging time in our economy, with many of our businesses pivoting to ensure their sustainability. Grow Smarter as a collective realized that we also had to pivot to support community needs fairly quickly. Some of the ways in which we responded in 2020 included contributing to One Community's microgrants for minority-owned businesses, working with Deuces Live to fund Wi-Fi hotspots, establishing a business resiliency team, working with Warehouse Arts District Association to support food distribution, and creating a scholarship with SPC to support students studying in Grow Smarter industries. Jocelyn, as manager, can you speak more specifically to the community needs assessment process and Grow Smarter's pivot?
Sure. So starting at the end of March, when we knew COVID was going to have a really big impact on St. Petersburg, we decided to pivot some of Grow Smarter's funding to support the community. And we wanted to make sure to do that in a way that was targeted and it was really addressing what the community needed. So we actually did two different needs assessments. We did one at the end of March, another one in late April. And the process looked like an online survey to businesses where we got over 200 responses. We took information from chamber members. The chamber called every single one of its members and did a survey. We reviewed community data. Most importantly, we got together our steering committee, which is a cross-sector group of community leaders, to look at all of that and to determine kind of the top three or four needs that we really wanted to focus on. So this allowed us to act fast and to also feel confident that we were accurately addressing what we needed to. And so one, you know, example, like you mentioned, Dr. Griffith, was, you know, the business resiliency team. This was a really collaborative effort that came out of the need we saw and heard starting really early on for resource navigation. Businesses needed help navigating these resources that were coming at them from all directions while they were still trying to run their business at the same time. So we worked with, of course, the chamber, the greenhouse, which was already doing navigation and picked up with us, the EDC. We worked with the Urban League, which also has navigation going on in One Community, to make this happen. And we were able to assist over 200 businesses with resource connections. Another thing I just wanted to note is that we really designed our response so that it would be sustainable. so that it wouldn't just end in a few months when our funding contribution ended. So with the Grow Smarter Scholarship at SPC, that has an endowment. So we're really optimistic that that will serve students and the community for many, many years. So that was a big part of how we put together the response too.
That's great. Thank you. Leah, as chair of our Coordinated Education and Training Work Group, you and our other work group chairs were involved in planning this community response. Can you talk about your work group chair role and how Grow Smarter's priorities impacted education and training?
Yes, absolutely. When I think about Grow Smarter and my past role in Grow Smarter, really Grow Smarter acts like the connective tissue that brings all of these different organizations together to meet the specific needs of our community. So when we had to pivot and directly address the urgent needs of the community, it was really important that we bring all of the people who've been engaged in Grow Smarter together to address those needs that Jocelyn just mentioned. So for example, one of the highlights that we talked about, Jocelyn also mentioned, was the SPC scholarship, where those people that were getting access to the scholarship could go into an area that was specific to our targeted job sectors. That was really important partnership with the all of the members of the Coordinated Education and Training work group, as well as the Digital Inclusion Initiative, where Deuces Live was very active, the Innovation District was very active, to come together and look at closing the digital divide, especially when it came to migrating to an online learning space. So for me, as I reflect back on this past year, where the Coordinated Education and Training work group really came together, it was the synergy of all of the partners to address the immediate needs. And because we had such great relationship through Grow Smarter, we were able to react very quickly to be able to foment those relationships and move forward with those initiatives.
Absolutely. Thank you, Leah. 2020 gave Grow Smarter time to regroup and reimagine how we can be most impactful. Sri, what are some ways that Grow Smarter has evolved since you've served as chair?
Thank you, Tishika, for the question. You know, in 2019, when I was a chair, I was just reflecting back. You know, the strategy was really started in 2014. The community came together and said, we need to have an intentional economic development strategy. And they did the study and identified the five sectors, marine science, life sciences, data analytics, financial services, and arts, and said, these are going to be focused areas of growth for us. I think as we evolved with the community partners, one of the key things that came about was that it is absolutely important for us to make sure we grow together. Equity was going to be a key focus. I think during 2019, that was one of the things we were able to formalize and adopt a mission with clarity and specific goals was to say, it is equitable economic development that we want to focus on, along with identifying the sectors, making sure that we're developing policies that are going to be key and focused on that. To me, I think that was one of the great accomplishments we were able to do. And it's really great to see how you all have evolved. And especially in 2020, where we had one of the most challenging years, the ability to focus on working with community partners like One Community and others and the city in providing the funding and the support that's needed for these small business and micro businesses to continue to grow. As we all know, that's the lifeline. And, you know, we took it on the chin with being tourism being such a critical part of our economy. So I think to see that growth continue to happen and the evolution of that and really continuing to move forward with an equitable economic development focus, I'm, again, very appreciative of all of your efforts and continuing to move this forward.
Thank you so much. And thank you for your contributions. Absolutely. Now, this question is for all of our panelists, starting with Jocelyn. We talked about sustainability and now evolution in the future. So with that, where do you see Grow Smarter's evolution in 2021 and beyond?
I think 2020 has done two really big things for the initiative. The first is that it has highlighted and really exacerbated a lot of the disparities we've been working on for years. And so it has made that, you know, even more at the forefront and has kind of strengthened the need for our mission moving forward. So we really had to pivot and reimagine this year. And I think, you know, we're using this time as an opportunity to think about how we can reimagine Grow Smarter to best serve St. Petersburg. And this, you know, evolution will help us get to the next level and really further our mission even more. So we're making a few changes, and some of these are still in progress. But I think one is that we're reimagining the steering committee as this Grow Smarter Alliance. We'll still be creating impact based on, you know, the collective strength of a really diverse group of leaders across sectors, which is really important. I think a big foundational piece of Grow Smarter is that we're working with public sector, private sector, and nonprofits. So that's going to continue. We're going to also move away from the working group model, which we paused this year anyway because out of necessity, and towards kind of focusing more on organizational work to advance conversations with businesses in St. Pete about how they can incorporate equity into their work and policies day to day. And I think another big area of focus for us is that we're going to be choosing three or four high-level priorities to focus Grow Smarter's work in 2021 and beyond. And so that will really allow us to continue to seek commitment from the community around furthering those goals. So those are some big changes that I see coming. And like I mentioned, I think this work has just gotten even more important.
Again, great question. I think there are three things I want to just briefly touch on. I think, you know, as Jocelyn alluded, I think we're taking this to the next level, but bring this community alliance. There are so many community partners. What's special about St. Pete, I felt like, is that we're all dedicated and committed to make this community better. Bringing these partners together instead of duplicative efforts, trying to focus on one champion that the rest of us can support, I think is a critical. So evolving into that alliance framework, I think, is going to be extremely helpful. The second part of it is really focused upon as educational partners. You know, both USF and SBC, I think we have an opportunity to really kind of focus and see what can we do for the city of St. Petersburg and the greater St. Petersburg area, continuing to build upon what are the new frontiers that we need to educate and build talent on. I think that's going to be a critical need for us. And I think Grow Smarter can play a critical role for us to identify and be able to bring the talent together, you know, to continue to move us forward. I think the third one is really focused on, you know, the TROP development, other important projects. That's going to be an important one for this community. And how can we make sure we continue to have that equitable focus, equity focus on it? When we look at important projects such as that and transportation, will be key for us to really push this for 2021 and make it a focus. So I think those are the three areas I want to touch on.
As I reflect back again on 2020, and think about where Grow Smarter's evolution is naturally taking it, I'm really excited about the fact that we're bringing in even more partnerships and highlighting all the work that's already taking place. People that are committed to the idea of equitable economic growth among all of our citizens. And Sri made a very good point. There's a lot of work that's going to be taking place in this community over the next 5, 10, 20 years. And it's really important to bring in all of these partners in a collective impact sort of way through this alliance to be able to each have a contribution that's meaningful and sustainable. So as Grow Smarter evolves, as we sunset the work groups and bring in this alliance concept, it's going to be really exciting to see that the work that we've already done is going to go to the next level in 2021 and beyond. And the focus on education, having the educational partners be such an integral part of the decision-making process is even more exciting, because not only will it mean great things for our community, but great things for the future workforce of this city.
Absolutely. Thank you all for the points and the insight that you provided today. I certainly agree that we're very proud of the work that we've done up until this point, but we recognize that surely there's so much more work to do, but we're committed to doing the work together. And I think that is what really sets Grow Smarter apart in terms of this collaborative impact. It truly is a collaborative impact initiative with our greatest and brightest thought leaders. And we're seeing some of you today sharing your insights on that. And we know that the work that we're doing, taking it back to our respective institutions and organizations, is also important for sustainability and to move a lot of the economic development strategies forward. And I think that's the pivot that has come out of the challenging times. I think the recommitment and affirmation that as a group, collectively, we can take our powers from our respective organizations and group together to really move the needle positively is something that's really exciting to be a part of. So again, thank you all for taking time to share your thoughts. I'm certainly proud of the work and progression Grow Smarter has made towards advancing economic advancement for all members of the community. And I'm excited at the opportunities that lay ahead because the community has certainly shown that the need is there, the need for us to continue to work together. But again, the true value is when we do this service together because we're growing smarter and we're doing that together. So thank you all. Have a wonderful remainder of your day. Thank you for joining us. Bye.
Wow. Chris, as a past chair of Grow Smarter, I appreciate how uniquely blessed, and I hope everyone who's watching this also sees it, that we are to have a revolutionary program like Grow Smarter in our community that is focused on equitable economic growth and development. It's become a model for other cities.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
It warms my heart, but I got to be honest with you. You know, our country and our community demand those kind of conversations. And this past year, while we dealt with COVID, we all dealt with our own personal journeys about what race and equity and all the injustices we've dealt with. And, you know, Ryan, as our board went through those conversations, we had that strong conversation about maybe our Chamber of Commerce, over 122 years, actually participated in creating those policies and working on those practices and those narratives that created an inequitable community. And so if that is the case, this is one where I see our board and our leadership double downing on and making sure that we rise above any previous actions our organization has ever taken and show leadership hand in hand. I know our partners at One Community and all of our partners at the Urban League and the Business League, they want us to be partners. It's up to us, Ryan, and our board and our members to make sure we get really good at advocating. Let's talk about that in our next segment where we are going to be a voice of equity, sustainability, and education. Let's get on with it.
Hello, my name is Matt Lettler, Vice President of Advocacy for the St. Pete Chamber. With me today is Ann Pollock, an attorney with Fletcher Fisher Pollock here in St. Pete and chair of our Public Policy Council and member of our Executive Committee. Ann, thank you so much for joining us today to talk about our advocacy program.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
So, Ann, in 2020, despite the pandemic, we had a lot of great wins, especially in transportation.
We really did. It's crazy, but even in 2020, we were able to accomplish a lot. The final funding from the U.S. Department of Transportation came to support the Sunrunner BRT. The Gateway Expressway is ahead of schedule, and now we even have scooters in St. Pete.
Yeah, some really great wins for the Chamber and for our community. We've been working on that BRT project since 2017.
Wow. We've been working very hard, though, and working hard in housing, land use, and development. We have a lot of wins there, too.
We do. You know, as everyone knows, affordable housing is an issue across this country, especially here in St. Pete, due to our limited land to build housing for people. But, you know, the Chamber created a plan that offered an alternative to the linkage fee proposal that would have put a tax on development, a per square foot tax on development. And instead, we asked for ordinance changes that would promote more affordable housing by including duplexes, triplexes, quads. So kind of more of a carrot than a stick approach to increasing our housing supply.
Terrific. We also worked to increase density in our limited areas of land so that we could have more housing opportunities there.
You're talking about that big coastal high hazard issue, huh?
Absolutely. So 40% of the city now is within the coastal high hazard area thanks to new flood maps. We worked to convince the city council that if they didn't allow density in at least some of those areas, that we would be stuck with issues of gentrification and increased housing prices. Fortunately, we were able to get that through.
Yeah, no, it was a big win, but that's a big issue. I mean, you're dealing with economic growth, you're dealing with affordability, you're dealing with equity, you're dealing with sustainability, with environmental sustainability. I mean, it was a big issue, and I think that when we look back in several years, we're going to see that win for our community was probably the biggest that the Chamber's had in the last decade.
I agree, and fortunately, we've also had big wins at the state capitol.
we did have some great wins in Tallahassee. You know, we were able to get the second DCA relocation from Tampa to St. Pete, and also a third St. Pete Collegiate High School included in the budget. But those items were vetoed due to the COVID concerns by the governor. But I have all the confidence in the world that we're going to get that back in the budget this year and avoid the veto pen. But, you know, it's really funny. The biggest win I think we had happened just a couple days after session. Mind if I tell that quick story?
Please do.
I wish he was here to join us. My friend Chris Spencer, who's the chief policy advisor and budget director for Governor DeSantis in Tallahassee, was a real savior to one of our great industries here in St. Pete. On St. Patrick's Day, you'll remember that that's when the governor issued his shutdown for businesses and restaurants and bars. And unfortunately, that affected breweries and their tasting rooms and their ability to sell beer to go. So I got a call from one of our great brewers here in St. Pete and immediately reached out to Chris asking, hey, can we get a carve out so that breweries, wineries, distilleries can sell their product to go while we're in this shutdown? Chris got right to work with his staff. He reached out to the secretary of DBPR, Halsey Bashirs. Halsey reached out to the Brewers Guild, and they were able to craft a solution that allowed our brewers to sell their product to go. So those of you that went to Green Bench and to Three Daughters and to some of the other breweries and were able to get beer back in that second, third week of March, it's because of Chris Spencer's work. So Chris, again, I wish you were here and we could thank you formally, but you really are a great burger, and we look forward to having you back in St. Pete, your hometown, once your time's done serving our great state. Thank you very much.
Wow, what a great win. It really shows how working with the chamber can help our members get access to government officials and really get results.
Very true. You know, it's nice to have friends in high places, but Chris is just a great public servant. He really cares about our state, and especially St. Pete is his hometown. And I just cannot appreciate the way he's helped our members in the past. This is not the first time, but it's definitely one of the biggest.
Great. I'm really glad we get to share that with our viewers.
So, Anne, before we wrap up, can you just give us a preview of what to expect in 2021 from our advocacy program?
I will. Through Chamber Next and discussions with our forward-focused officials like Senator Jeff Brandis and Representative Ben Diamond, we're working on four main priorities. Increasing regional connectivity, and that refers to the 41-mile BRT from Wesley Chapel all the way into St. Pete. And, of course, working on the issues of Brightline as it comes into Tampa, making sure we have connections into St. Pete. The second thing is making sure the Rays are here in 2028. Very important. Third, also extremely important to our community, is saying yes in my backyard. YIMBY, promoting policies that create more space options. Finally, we're looking to make St. Pete the education city to ensure that our colleges and our universities augment our pre-K through 12 schools here. It's a lot that we're going to do, but I have a strong suspicion we're going to have success.
Well, Anne, thank you so much for being here today. Thank you for your leadership. But above all, thank you so much for your dedication to our city and to the chamber.
I'm glad to be a part. It's an honor. Thanks for having me.
All right. Thank you, Matt and Ann. Hopefully now, members, you understand what our chamber's been up to and how hard we've worked for you. But listen, we all worked really hard this year and in this past year. But hopefully you see that there's somebody like you who cares about the same things you care about, that are interested in living here and working here and making a difference. Because what you've witnessed throughout all these segments is leadership, is about folks who don't have to care about our community, but show up every day at the Chamber of Commerce and do. It has always been about leadership. So I hope you understand now what our Chamber of Commerce can do, what it's wanting to do, and how it's powered. And so what I'd love to say to you is, Ryan, I want to thank you for your leadership. Ryan Griffin, you have been a star for me. I've told every Chamber of Commerce chairman who's come into my office, you show up at the right time, you bring the right skill sets, you bring the right attitude, and you. Throughout that, Ryan, you share a mantle with 121 other business leaders who've cared about our community. And so may I ask you to take the podium one last time and hand off the gavel to those who are coming ahead of you in our next Board of Governors. Please come join me.
Well, first, thank you, Chris, for those comments. They mean a lot, especially coming from you. As your outgoing chairman, I'd like to thank you all for the opportunity to serve and to be a part of a very special organization. It's been an honor. It's been a privilege. The first thing I discovered is we are not alone. It's not all about Chris, who cares about our initiatives, who cares about our city, who cares about our members. It's more than that. I discovered a 2020 executive committee team that showed up every week. It's been 47 weeks since we started in COVID. And they speak up in places that we have never gone without collaboration and support together. Their names are on the screen in front of you, and they did a lot of this year's heavy lifting. They are Bill Kent, Dr. Sri Sundaram, Dr. Sandra Brahm, David Vetter, Jason Spears, Kathy Wright, Dr. Tashika Griffith, Jim Dixon, and Paul Carter. Thank you to each and every one of you. You've been awesome. And because we shared the work and showed up in so many more places this year, albeit virtual and in person, we now have a better understanding of what chambering is. That's 10 executive committee members that are out there working for all of us. Now, imagine adding 40 more to that list. As you'll see on your screen, the 2020 Board of Governors for the Chamber of Commerce. We have some of the most diverse, courageous, and caring professionals in this community on this board. They've responded to the call out for services to be more active in our engagement and stay focused on planning on our strategic initiatives as we continue our program of work. Thank you from the bottom of my heart to all of you. You've been troopers and have been a great support system for me in 2020. As my last act as the chamber chair, it's my honor to provide you with the nominating committee submitted and board approved slate of officers and board members for 2021. Our new board chair will be Dr. Sri Sundaram from the University of South Florida, St. Petersburg. I know that we're in great hands with Sri. He's a great leader, a great person, and a great personal friend. The rest of the executive committee members are on your screen, as you can see them. Additionally, while the list is too large to read each name individually, we are pleased to present you with the 2021 Board of Governors, as well as our newest board members that are on the screen. All right. Without further ado, let me introduce you to our 2021 Board of Governors Chair, Dr. Sri Sundaram.
Good evening. It is my privilege and honor to serve as the next chair of the Board of Governors for the St. Petersburg Chamber of Commerce. On a personal note, I'm truly humbled to be the first representative from the educational community to serve in this capacity. First, I want to thank Ryan Griffin, our outgoing chair, for his outstanding leadership during one of the most challenging years of our times. Ryan did a fantastic job of working closely with Chris Steinacker, our president and CEO of the chamber, in helping navigate not only internally for us in the chamber, but also working closely with the business community, our community at large, in navigating these challenging times. You know, as I look at 2021, I see a ray of hope and optimism. Why? As we start to vaccinate our community in significant numbers in the coming months, I think that's going to have important implications for us as a community. We rely so much on tourism. I think this is going to be important for us. But also, our mission for the chamber is to ensure economic growth and prosperity and the vitality of our community. And that we will. We will rebuild our community into a stronger, more diverse, equitable, and inclusive manner. And as Chris would always say, that is the St. Pete way. And yes, we will continue to do that. But I want to focus on three priorities that are very close to my heart. One, we're going to continue to be a strong advocate for the business community. That's a role we have always taken as a chamber, and we'll continue to do that, especially during these times. Second, the Grow Smart initiative that we started in 2014 in this community as a partnership between the city, the chamber, and the community partners, an intentional strategy to move this community forward in an equitable fashion. We're going to take the next step in moving by creating an alliance where we bring in all the community members to help us move this initiative forward. That's going to be something very important for us as a community, and we're going to take the next step in 2021. Lastly, I want to focus on the entrepreneurial ecosystem that is so important for the vitality of our community here, is growing the entrepreneurs and the small businesses. And in this aspect, we really are going to work with the Greenhouse, which is a partnership of the city and the chamber, in creating navigators, but also bringing Startup Space as a platform that aggregates all the resources that we have. Continue to do the pitch night competition that builds and exposes our entrepreneurs that you've seen in the last couple of times we have had here locally. That is going to continue to build our vitality. So look forward to this in 2021. I want to lastly thank Chris Steinacker and the Board of Governors for their entrusting me with this huge responsibility. I look forward to working with each of you, the city and the mayor's office, and this community partners who have been instrumental in making this community such a special place to be. Wishing you all the great success in 2021, and look forward to working with you all. Thank you.
Sri, I'm so excited to see your leadership and what's to come in 2021. Congratulations, and the gavel is yours.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you very much. Really appreciate it. And I tell you, you know, you have done an incredible leadership, and these are going to be big shoes to fill. And on behalf of the chamber and all of us, we have something special for you, Ryan. But I also wanted to mention, this is for Marianne and Liam, because they had to sacrifice a lot for you to be here. So we truly thank you and want to thank for everything you have done for us, the chamber, and the community.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
There you go, Ryan. Congratulations.
All right, Sri, the meeting's yours.
All right. Thank you, Chris. Thank you, Ryan. Ladies and gentlemen, as like all of you, we have evolved. I hope you enjoy the programming tonight. We have adapted. We have had a virtual meeting for you to report on all the various progress we made in 2021. With that said, I want to make two commitments to you. One, we will always remain an advocate for you in this chamber, the St. Petersburg Chamber of Commerce. Two, as a community member, we want to do everything to continue to make this community a special community to live in. So thank you again for joining us. Have a wonderful and safe evening. Good night.